Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Geico, see all the ways that you could save. It is the CSS DFS podcast. It is me, Daniel Dopp. It is my friend, Mike Clay. It is our other friend, Al Zeidenfeld, who comes to us live all the way from beautiful Los Angeles, California. Al, how you doing today, bud?
I mean, can't you see how beautiful it is here? It's outstanding.
Yeah. That backdrop looks real nice in your basement. Looks fantastic.
Looks so real,
backdrop.
Amazing.
Oh, I mean,
are those rockets taking off?
The only rockets that we have taken off here are Mike Clay's DFS plays because they have been on fire the last couple of weeks. Let's do a quick week 8 recap. Mike Clay brought home almost 180 points last week, good enough to take me down. So unfortunately, Mike goes up on the season standings, 6-2 over me. I didn't have a
six
bad
in
week.
A row.
I had 150 points, like it was fine. Yeah. Unfortunately, I had a few guys that just didn't pan out. What are you going to do? We're going to fix that here this week. But join our free league over at DraftKings right now. It's free to enter, $1,000, still $1,000 in free prizes for you. You can play against Mike and I. Follow at Mike Clay NFL. I am at Daniel Dopp. Al is at Al Zeidenfeld. And we will tweet out the link to the league. You can play for free. Just follow our tweets. It's really that simple.
Yeah, it's easy. Win some money. It's free money.
Free money.
There's one free money.
Literally free money.
Literally.
Yeah.
You got to set a decent lineup. At least set a lineup. Like, then you have a shot. This season of all seasons... Just like pick some players. It could be anyone.
Just pick a lineup.
But we're gonna try to get you the best ones, though.
So. This one, we got some good ones here. Yeah. We got some winners for you today. Mike, let's start at the quarterback position where you are paying down at quarterback.
I am.
I'm looking at Trevor Lawrence on the sheet, $5,200 against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, look, six teams on a bye, so there's only 20 quarterbacks on the slate. Okay. And you're going to tell me that a top 10 scoring quarterback this season is 17th out of the 20 quarterbacks on this slate?
Wow.
That doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence checking in at 5,200 here against the Raiders. QB10 this season, he has four games with 18 plus fantasy points. Pretty nice number, well above his 3X threshold we're looking for. Two passing. Now, all right, so as of late, this is why his price is down, okay? Last four games has a total of two passing touchdowns. But if you look at who he has played, all four of those defenses are bottom 12 in pass touchdowns allowed this season, right? So including, you know, like Denver overseas, right? He's had a tough slate. He also added three rushing touchdowns during that span.
Yes,
so he's made up a little bit of ground in that department. The Raiders are an excellent matchup for him, okay? They've allowed the most fantasy points, the second most touchdowns with 15 to quarterbacks this season. They've allowed 17 or more fantasy points in every game this season. I mean, think about that floor, okay? They have allowed 17 plus fantasy points to every quarterback they have faced this season.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's a really good spot for Lawrence.
$5,200 if you're doing that 3K payout. What do you have to need to get to?
That would be 15.6.
Okay.
And they've allowed 17 plus in every game. And this guy is a QB1 in fantasy this season. Trevor Lawrence in cash. I love it. I mean, he said great floor this week.
Great floor this week. All right, Al, let's talk about if you're looking to play tournament. Let's say you want to play, because usually Mike sets cash lineups. In case you're new to this, Mike sets cash lineups. Al, you set tournament lineups. But, you know, we talk good values across the board. It's not necessarily just for one specific game type or the other. But, Al, from a tournament perspective, where are you going? Because I feel like I don't know how I could go away from Josh Allen and everything he's done for, like, the rest of the season. He's just been the guy. Well, except for last week. Don't pay attention to last week.
Even last week, he had 19.6 DraftKings points. So he's averaging 30.1. He only threw the ball 25 times. He has accounted for multiple touchdowns in every game this season. And I know that the cornerback situation on the Jets is like Sauce Gardner's been really good. And DJ Reed's been very good. But like also, they can be had. Like looking at when you force feed targets to wide receivers against them this year, Amari Cooper, 10 targets. 9, 101, and 1. Jamar Chase, 10 targets. He had a touchdown. Lazard, 9 targets. Scored a touchdown. Jacoby Myers, 12 targets. Scored a touchdown. Jacoby Myers scored a touchdown. They're even letting Jacoby Myers score a touchdown. As good as they're graded. But like Jacoby Myers gets to wander into the painted area. So like cornerback matchups matter, but do they matter with Steph Diggs? Because like he's toasted every single person out there. He roasted Jalen Ramsey in week 1. We've seen Josh Allen find ways, inventive ways to get the ball through these really tight windows to him. Like, I think that stack is your best premium stack on the week, especially on a week where as Mike said, because of buys and a lot of great quarterbacks that are off the slate on island games, team totals, implied team totals matter when it comes to quarterback scoring in fantasy. And the Bills have a 29.5 implied team total, which is absolutely absurd. And the next closest teams are at like 26. So the advantage you get by paying up, not to be contrarian, but just by paying up, gives you a super high floor with a possibility of this astronomical ceiling if Josh Allen just happens to go nuclear as he does from time to time.
Al, it makes sense once you know what it is, but in case you are new to DFS, I've listened to you use the term island games a number of times, especially within your stream. You do smizzle.tv/links if you want to follow any of the stuff that Al does. Just can you explain what an island game is? Just as because you, I sometimes throw it out there.
Gotcha. Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football, games that are off of the main slate on DraftKings and are out there on an island all by themselves for you to watch on TV in your recliners.
I get that reference. Does that count?
Now, yeah, I think that counts. Does that count? Yeah.
I don't know if it counts. It's not like
it wasn't really pop culture.
Wait, it's not pop culture. Exactly.
Yeah. Did you get it before Al explained it after?
I got that one. I can handle that. Pop culture, though, we'll see.
All right. Listen, Mike, we'll get there.
Probably not.
We'll get there. All right. A couple other quarterbacks that we like. Justin Herbert, $7,200, taking on Atlanta. Mike, is Atlanta bad against the quarterback?
Maybe the worst. Yes. Okay. They've struggled against quarterbacks, receivers, passing games. We like the matchup.
Just everything. The matchup is really great. And Aaron Rodgers, $5,900, taking on the Detroit Lions.
Daniel, are the Lions good at against quarterbacks?
No. No. Do you want to pick any other position and ask me if they're good against them either? No. Fullbacks, tight ends, offensive linemen. Yeah. Long snappers were bad against everything across the board.
Last week's big week was I had Tua and Tyreek. That was pretty big last week.
That was pretty big. That was pretty big, yeah. Let's talk about some running backs here. We've watched Travis Etienne just come alive over the last couple of weeks, Mike, and now no James Robinson. First week, no James Robinson. He just looked dominant. A ton of touches. What do you expect for him here this week against the Raiders?
Yeah, and yeah, I just talked about Trevor Lawrence, and generally I'm not going out of my way to start a quarterback and a running back from the same team, but you can get away with it more if it's the passing down back as well, right? And that's obviously something Etienne brings to the table in this offense.
And with Lawrence's price, like that helps a lot.
Exactly, no doubt about it. Both are obviously undervalued, good matchup here. But you mentioned last week, 27 touches, 162 yards, and a touchdown. First game without James Robinson, the volume went way up for him, which was terrific. But you know, it wasn't just because Robinson was gone. I mean, he's had 100 plus scrimmage yards in four consecutive games, has a touchdown in two consecutive games. He's averaging 6.2 yards per carry, which is second best at running back. He's not going to sustain that, but the efficiency has been great. And some numbers on the Raiders defense here. I talked about how bad they are against quarterbacks, against running backs, seventh most fantasy points allowed. Last week, Alvin Kamara, pretty good in DFS last week as well. Just had a nice, cool 43 fantasy points. The second most targets, catches, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns allowed to running backs, to my point about Etienne potentially being a playmaker in the passing game. If Lawrence throws it to him and he has a decent game and scores a touchdown, that could be huge here if you use both guys. So you don't have to, but they're both really good value options in your cash lineup this week.
I love Travis Etienne. The only thing that I've been afraid of is the fact that, like you've said this, those yards per carry, like his efficiency is just through the roof now.
Yeah.
So is that going to eventually tail off, or is this one of those situations where like they're utilizing him just enough that like that volume is going to, even if that efficiency tails off, his volume is going to keep him.
Well, that's the thing. Efficiency can come down as long as the volume's high. If he's getting 20 touches a game and averages 4.8 yards per carry, that's fine.
That's like,
he's still going to be a value at this price. He's still going to be near 20 fantasy points. He's still going to be an RB1 fantasy. That's fine.
Yeah. All right, Al, let's talk about another running back that you like, Ramondre Stevenson at $6,200. What do you like about the Patriots running back here?
That he's criminally underpriced. Like, this is just absurd. He's had 20-plus DraftKings points in five of the last 6 weeks. It's not like we don't have a sample size here. It's also not as though he has not been involved in the passing game, which is the greatest predictor of a running back's floor in terms of DraftKings scoring. He is not touchdown dependent, though he has shown some efficiency in that range with four touchdowns over that same six-game sample size. He's doing it on volume, 16 targets the last 2 weeks, five of the last 6 weeks, four or more catches per game. The only week where he didn't was against Detroit, where he had two catches, but he ran for 161 yards that day. So
didn't need that.
What is there not to like at 6,200? This is a $7,000 plus back.
Yeah.
And he's 6,200. This seems free. It's not like the minimum salary, but like this is a free square in cash or in tournaments. And there's so many players in this range between 5,500 and, like, let's say 6,500 that, like, I think they're all going to hold their percentages down in tournaments. So, like, I don't see Stevenson getting out of control in tournaments like 30, 40% plus. So we're getting a guy that has a 15-point floor with his current usage, arguably with a 30-plus point ceiling. Yeah, I'm in it at 6.2.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, he's on my list, too, of a great value this week. The only thing I'd say is we did see a big bounce back in terms of usage last week from Damian Harris. He was back on track from his snap share from the first, you know, before he got hurt, the first 6 or so weeks of the season. It's still Ramondre as the lead. It's still Ramondre in passing situations, at least still, you know, we'll see if Ty Montgomery ever comes back. But I agree. I think he's a great value. I'm not sure I agree with Al on the free square part of it. Like, I don't know if he's that off the charts, but he's still in that top 6, 7, 8.
Good value.
Running backs. I'd prefer to lean toward ETN $100 more, but obviously you're getting a $100 discount. Maybe you need that $100.
Both in Best Buy's little sneak preview of Best Buy's that came out this morning. Like, both are in there.
There you go.
I love ETN this week. I love that they're actually committed to using him, like, you know, 75, 80-plus percent of the snaps, and they're giving him all the usage. But, like, can we dial back the carries to, like, 15 and tune up the passing attempts? Like, he's got 15 targets in the last 4 games. This is a guy who's been so good in the passing game. That's what he profiled as, and they're throwing him the ball, like, 3 times a game. I need, like, 6 targets a game for ETN, and then he would be just chef's kiss perfect.
Agreed. Kamara usage. Just what we want, right?
That's what we're looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Couple other running backs that we like. Joe Mixon, $6,500 taking on the Panthers. Joe Mixon has 6 or more targets or 17 plus carries in 7 of his 8 weeks. He just gets a ton of volume in this offense still. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs, $7,300 taking on Jacksonville. Aaron Jones against the Lions, $7,400. We mentioned Ramondre Stevenson, $6,200. And Kenneth Walker III, $6,200 taking on the Arizona Cardinals this week as well. All right, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would.
Of course you would, Mike. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with renter's coverage, like with insurance for your car, truck, boat, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with your homeowners or renter's coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app available 24-hour roadside assistance and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. All right, let's talk wide receivers, Mike, where we watched Tyreek Hill just do some mean things to the Detroit Lions secondary last week.
Yeah, I think I've had him as my receiver like for the last 5 weeks,
and
because he's still
not
underpriced. Like, now he's up to 8,500. It's still a value because he's so ridiculous and has such a high ceiling. 12 or more targets in 6 of 8 games. Like, that's an enormous number. Not many. There's only a handful of receivers in the league that have 12 plus targets in like 3 games. And he has it in 6 of his 8 games this season. His average is 9.3 touches and 123.1 yards per game. This was, you know, it's funny. I was looking at his stats for this when I was doing some notes, and I was like, he only has 2 touchdowns. Like, there's meat on the bones still here, which is unbelievable. I was like, this is a mistake in my feed. I had to like double check. He only has 2 touchdowns, which is hard to believe considering how productive he has been. He's hit the 100-yard bonus 4 times already. And, you know, you look at the matchup here. Chicago has actually allowed the 4th fewest fantasy points to receivers, but they haven't faced much volume, right? Because they're really run heavy on the other side. It limits the volume for the other team. 2nd fewest wide receiver targets faced, but they're mid-pack in efficiency, so not too worried about it. Also, when they've played these alpha number ones, they haven't been as great. Justin Jefferson put 30 on them. CeeDee Lamb put 19 on them, right? They just haven't faced a lot of guys like that. So not worried about Tyreek. He'll get open against anyone. They move him all over the formation. He'll be fine. And at 8,500 with his ceiling that he brings to the table, I'll take it. What's up, Al?
What is his OTD? I would like to ask, because it's actually, I just highlighted that yesterday. That, like, he's not getting a lot of end zone usage, but, like, based on the targets and the yards and the 69 catches that are very nice that he's had this year, how many times should he have been in the end zone aside from the 2 that he scored like really early in weeks 1 and 2?
Yeah, that surprised me too. It's like 2.5. So it's not much far off his actual total. But here's the thing. He's a unicorn, right? He can score on a lot of big plays. You keep catching 50-yard passes, they're going to end up in the end zone. And they just happen for him. So I'm not really worried about that for him as much as I would be for some other receivers.
I want to ask, this is less of a Tyreek Hill stat and more of just like a Dolphins offense. And I might be reading into this, but trade deadline did just pass. Robert Quinn no longer there, Roquan Smith no longer there. Is there any, like, is the Bears defense any worse coming now out of the trade deadline than they were going into it? Or is that going too deep, Mike?
I mean, objectively speaking, it's worse when you lose guys like that, but I already did not think it was very good coming into the season. I think the big problem was, or the big reason, put it this way, a team can protect their defense by what they do on offense sometimes by running the ball and keep the clock moving and move the chains. That it's like kind of like the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady thing. Their defenses always look a little better because they're moving the ball and the chains. If the other team doesn't have the ball or runs 50 snaps, they're not going to produce as much. So Chicago has had an element of that with how run heavy they've been. I mean, Atlanta's kind of done that. They probably protected their defense a little bit. I mean, it's been bad, but it could be a lot worse with the personnel they're missing.
Heck yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. That was a question.
And an answer, I hope.
No, that was a good answer. Al, we have already talked about a couple of Detroit Lions on this show. Actually, we've talked about guys playing the Detroit Lions on the show. We actually haven't talked about any Detroit
Lions. Should we just like from now on just be like, start everyone, like at the top of the show. If they're playing, start all these guys, they're against the Lions. All right, now let's talk about other players.
Now let's talk to everybody else.
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about players playing against the Lions. Just assume that they're in play.
What about players on the Lions, Al? I was shocked. I looked at the note today. You've got Khalif Raymond here at $4,000, basically a free square at the wide receiver position. Why do you like Khalif Raymond?
DraftKings has really dialed up the salaries at wide receivers specifically. We find a lot of values at running back. Like we talked about, from 5,500 to 6,500, every single week we're finding players in that range. But they've dialed up the low end at wide receiver, but because they were out before the trade deadline happened and couldn't adjust for the 17%+ of the market share of targets that have just been vacated from TJ Hawkinson's usage, and you look at, they were already using Raymond the last few weeks, 54 of 60 snaps against Miami, 53 of 59 against Dallas, 56 of 66 snaps against the Patriots. He's already been out there exceeding his fantasy expectation each of the last 3 weeks. He's still only 4K. And if we want to play guys like Josh Allen, we want to play Tyreek Hill, we want to play the expensive running backs, or somebody like Steph Diggs as well, you're going to have a salary release valve. And right now, Khalif Raymond fits into that very well. It's much harder to score points when you're holding your helmet on the sideline. He's clearly been out there, and it's not just for cardio. He's getting 7 targets, 6 targets, 4 targets, and now there's 17% of the target market share that's been vacated that I don't think is going to be eaten up by either of the minimum salary tight ends that they have replacing Hawkinson. It has to go somewhere. Khalif Raymond looks like a safe-ish value play. And if he happens to score a touchdown, it's very easy to ceiling for you from like 15 to 22 fantasy points. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So like, while it sounds like a off the board play, when you look at what his role has been recently and add to that what's missing from the passing game based on it being in Minnesota now, he looks like a really solid relief play, and you get to play somebody on the other side and use Khalif Raymond as a back end of a secondary stack.
Hey, that works. Save a little bit of money there from that standpoint. So I totally get where you're coming from with that. And they have been utilizing him more. If he finds a way to get in the end zone, he easily outperforms what this price point is. And even without that, still been getting volume like you talked about. A couple other wide receivers that we like. Zay Jones, $4,100, taking on the Raiders. Stephon Diggs, $8,400 against the Jets. Cooper Kupp, $8,900 against the Buccaneers. This is his lowest price tag of the season. Previous low was $9,200.
Wow.
So the idea that you're able to get him sub 9K, it's the lowest you'll be able to get Cooper Kupp potentially all year. We'll see. Christian Kirk, $5,500 against the Raiders. Keenan Allen, $6,500 against Atlanta. If he goes, it's something to monitor. He's still currently dealing with his hamstring. And then Terry McLaurin, $5,900 against Minnesota.
Man, look at them stack opportunity. You could have some fun with the Jacksonville offense against that Raiders defense. I mean, really could. Christian Kirk at $5,500 is ridiculous for a guy that's, you know, handling a quarter of the targets. Even Zay Jones, he's their number two, handling about 20% of the targets. The ceiling hasn't been there, but if you think about it from a tournament perspective, he had a huge game earlier this season. Kirk's had some big games. They're all underpriced across the board, this offense. So it's interesting. It's you know, I'm leaning cash values, but you can definitely get creative with tournaments here. And then on the other side, you have Devontae Adams coming off a down game. You have Josh Jacobs, same thing. So got options there.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right. I love that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about tight end, because I think this is another spot. I wonder how creative you have to get, because Tyler Higbee, I'm looking at this, $3,700 has just been a volume monster.
Yeah, a couple duds in a row, right? But he did have 6 targets last week. He's averaging 8 per game this season, so a little bit back on track from that department. Even with the duds, he's still top 5 in targets and catches among tight ends this season. 10-plus fantasy points in 4 straight games before that, the string of down games. But the pricing is just too low. He's behind Kyle Pitts, Mike Gesicki, and Rob Tonyan. I just think that's too low for a guy that's seeing an enormous target share in that Rams offense. Also, the Bucs defense is kind of tailing off a little bit as of late. They've had some injuries there. But for the season, 5th most fantasy points allowed to tight ends. You might recall their most recent game, Thursday night against the Ravens. Mark Andrews went out. They brought in a rookie, Isaiah Likely, 6 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown in that game, right? So they've had some trouble with that position. I think Higbee at this price, good value.
Really great, great value. Great value. Yeah. I'm totally with you there. In spite of the duds, the fact that he has been utilized. And I also look at that offense. They didn't really add anything from a offensive perspective through the trade deadline. They weren't able to move Cam Akers. So from that standpoint, I think I expect him to still be a guy that they're going to utilize a lot. All right, Al, let's talk about another tight end. Hayden Hurst, $3,800. Bengals tight end. Obviously no Ja'Marr Chase here. What do you like about Hayden Hurst this week?
So I coached basketball for a long time, and my zone offensive philosophy was where they vacate, we fill. So if the player moves out offensively, you move into that empty space, you're going to be open. Guess what? Ja'Marr Chase is a pretty large vacated space, like close to 30% of the target market share, also leading that team on the season with 16 red zone targets. That's a 31% share. That counts the game that he missed when other players received red zone targets as well. Hayden Hurst is number 2 on that team in terms of red zone targets. So let's elevate that touchdown expectation if and when they get close against Carolina. And you have to sprinkle some of those targets. Not all of them are going to go to T. Higgins. Not all of them are going to go to Joe Mixon or Tyler Boyd. So better target expectation from Hurst. He has caught 4 balls in 3 of the last 4 games for this offense, and 3 of those games were with Ja'Marr Chase. There's possible 5-6 catch possibility here. We have heightened red zone and end zone usage, and he's only 3,800. So the chance of a dud is very, very low. Dud being like 1 or 2 points, right? He should score you between 7 and 10, but there's a possibility of 15-plus based on the game situation, his current usage. So Hayden Hurst looks like pretty solid value this week.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
Tough to argue with that. All right, a couple of tight ends we like. Evan Engram, $3,300, taking on the Raiders. No tight end has been targeted more than Evan Engram over the past 4 weeks. He's had 29 targets.
More Jags. We love the Jags.
And Tyler Conklin, $3,200, taking on Buffalo. Tough matchup here, but Tyler Conklin, again, well, we just talked to Al, just mentioned it, right? Guys vacate the lineup. We're not sure what's going to happen with Corey Davis. We didn't hardly saw Elijah Moore last week in a tough spot. Tyler Conklin came through, another potential dart throw here at tight end.
Yep.
All right, Mike, let's go through our head-to-head Beard versus the Brain. We don't use Beard versus the Brain very much anymore.
Yeah, bring it back.
Yeah, we do got to bring it back. Again. We got to make a thing. All right, this week, week 9, give me your head-to-head lineup.
All right, here we go. Quarterback, big surprise. Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I heard you talk about him.
Of course. We're going Jacksonville there. I'm going to go with Travis Etienne. Okay, if you're watching the screen, that's not my lineup, but I'm just going to read it off. So Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, Travis Etienne at running back. So we got, hopefully he'll throw to him a few times. Josh Jacobs at running back. I'm going to go with a third running back here. Joe Mixon in the flex. Yeah, wide receivers. Your boy Amon-Ra St. Brown. Tyreek Hill, of course. Terrace Marshall, huge game.
Huge game.
Last week, we won him in there. He's still 3,900, playing a much bigger role with Robbie Anderson gone, Tyler Higbee at tight end, and we got the Jets D. We're punting the D. They're playing the Bills, but they've been pretty good defensively. Maybe they can make a play or two, so we'll punt a 2K and fill out the rest of the lineup with some pretty darn good players.
Yeah.
What do you got?
It is November, so it is time to punt the D. Let's do, for me, I am starting with Justin Fields, baby. $5,300. I mentioned it earlier. Al mentioned it earlier. Love him. Aaron Jones, $7,400. I'm taking Travis Etienne at $6,300 as well. My wide receivers, Tyreek Hill with everything he's done, $8,500. DJ Moore has been getting a ton of volume since, I mean, the last couple of weeks, he's been looking like the DJ Moore that we know, $5,800. Rondale Moore, $5,200. Again, a cheap price point. Tyler Conklin at $3,200 there with Ramondre Stevenson in my flex at $6,200. And I had to go cheap with the Jets defense there at $2,000. However, I've been going back and forth between Ramondre Stevenson and Ken Walker. I've been trying to find some values there. I like some of those high-value running backs. So.
Yeah, and things always change leading up to the games. Guys will be rolled out, and that'll make other values, you know, for the insurance player. So we'll keep an eye on this, but all right.
Not too bad. Al, give us your tournament lineup here, because we're always talking about double stack, comeback with the secondary stack. Where are we going this week?
So I got Josh Allen at quarterback, Raheem Mostert and Travis Etienne Jr. at running back. Or not very much cash. Sure. I'm double stacking Josh Allen with Stephon Diggs and Dawson Knox. I'm bringing that back with Garrett Wilson, assuming that Davis is out again. If Davis is in, I might shuffle this up a little bit. Romeo Doubs from Green Bay. They just don't have very much in the wide receiver room right now. And at the flex spot, I have Darnell Mooney, who correlates with Mostert, and the Panthers defense at 2,300. They've been pretty solid for as giving as they've been. They've been solid for fantasy, averaging like between 5 and 10 points week in and week out. So,
I mean, who knows? After what Cleveland did to Cincinnati last week, I mean, they have some guys who can get there, you know, Brian Byrne. So maybe they get a few sacks for you.
And we had mentioned Garrett Wilson last week as a potential value, got over 100 yards, got you that DraftKings, you
career
know, everything going on there. Like, we'll see what happens with that Jets wide receiving core. All right. That's going to do it for us here in week 4. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you follow at Mike Clay NFL, at Daniel Dopp, and at Al Zeidenfeld. Follow all of Al's other stuff, smizzle.tv/links for everything that you do for him. And please don't forget, please love each other. Be kind to yourself. We can't wait to see you tomorrow. We'll see you guys on the Friday show.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls